Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, a co-production of EWTN Radio and SpiritualDirection.com, where we provide you with a spiritual haven of rest and explore the riches of the wisdom of the saints and the path to union with God.
This is Dan Burke with Divine Intimacy Radio, your radio haven of rest, your monastery of the mind. And what you always say. Oh, did you forget?
I forgot.
Oh, I know. And you have that
haven
look.
Haven of rest, monastery of the mind, hermitage of the heart.
Right. I like your face when you do that, too. You have this glow about you. The purpose of our show is to draw your heart and mind, our hearts and minds, to a place where we get refreshed and revitalized because we need that. Tough times we're living in, and in the Catholic Church, it's very, very difficult, and we need strength. We need to draw our sustenance from a perfect well of, and we're not perfect, but the teachings of the Church are, no matter how broken its humans are, but the teachings of the doctors of the Church, the mystics, the saints, who have all lived, all of them actually lived through very difficult times, and suffered greatly, but transcended the muck and the mess to union with God and helped others to do the same. And so we're hoping to do the same for you today on Divine Intimacy Radio. We're doing a Q&A show today, which I always love. And I think I said I was here with Stephanie Burke, faithful co-host. How you doing?
I'm doing okay.
It's good to see your face.
Good to see yours.
So today we're going to take questions from people all around the world, Holland, Philippines,
awesome,
Canada, kind of neat.
Yeah. Shout out to everybody.
Shout out to all humans all over the world.
That's right.
And go ahead.
All the saints in the making out there.
All the saints in the making. I like that. All right. Well, why don't we just go ahead and jump into the questions? What do you think?
Okay.
All right.
So our first question is from Paula, and she says, okay, is God really there when we are frustrated with life? I feel cut off from him when I'm angry, but that is self-focused. So is that why I feel cut off?
So, yeah. So does God doesn't move when you're frustrated, Paula? I'm sorry. And I'm sorry you're frustrated. I'm not laughing because of that. But I think you already know the answer. I suspect that because you even know the answer to your second question, which you've already kind of stated. So you wrote this probably frustrated and saying, where's God? I'm frustrated, you know? So it's similar when you think about it to a little baby or even a teenager or even a big teenager, you know, just yeah. Right.
Where are you? I'm throwing a fit. I'm having a hard time.
Right.
My life is falling apart. And,
yeah.
And then.
And you're not listening to me.
Right.
Right. Right.
It's not dissimilar.
Right. And so no. God is not the problem.
No.
But Paula already knows that because she's a good person.
Yeah.
So I'm not condemning Paula at all because it's
nor
normal.
Anybody that feels that.
No,
because
no,
it's,
no.
Life is hard.
It is.
Becoming holy is hard.
It is.
And actually, when you hit those walls and you're not just complacently running off into the pit of hell, then you know God is at work. Because when your will collides with his will, then there's going to be dissonance and you're going to struggle. And in that struggle, you're going to find him.
But so. you kind of alluded to something that's interesting there. You said, you know, or something like that's kind of an indicator that God's at work.
Mm-hmm. What, it is.
Tell me about that.
Well, I mean, people don't, you know, get angry and say, where is God, if they are carrying themselves off to hell in a handbasket.
Right.
You know, that they seek him, that they know that he's there, that they desire him in that struggle, in that darkness, is evidence that he's calling to them. And I also heard a priest, and I think it was Father Ripiger, in a recent talk that he did online, that was live streamed online, that it is in those struggles that the enemy, you know, shakes things up the most.
Uh-huh.
It's a particular virtue that the Lord wants of us. He wants us to grow in a particular virtue. So if we're struggling in a particular area over and over and over again, It's a really good indication that that's where the Lord is asking us to become holy, to get clear to Him, to surrender that to Him so that He can work in it. So that desire in that struggle is evidence that God is at work.
Great. Well, and so one, we've said, Paula, it's normal to be frustrated, and it's normal to feel cut off because we're kind of rattling in our own cage and our own little world, closing off. And as you said, it is self-focused, and yes, that is why you feel cut off. So you know all the answers. The question is, how do you solve that kind of reality if it happens over and over? And one recommendation I have for you is to read Father Jacques Philippe's Searching for and Maintaining Peace. And if you read that and you do search for peace and you do what it takes to maintain it, you will experience these things less and less. Life never stops throwing junk at you, but you can be more detached, right? You can be more impervious, is a better way of saying it, maybe, to those attacks, you know?
Well, and anger and frustration aren't sins.
Mm-hmm.
They're not sins. Those feelings are in and of themselves just feelings. The Lord gave us feelings, and He speaks to us through our feelings. Our feelings are good.
You know,
they can draw us to great holiness. But, you know, what we do with them is the problem.
Right.
So, you know, frequent confession, if we are acting in that anger, especially if we allow it to steal our prayer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if our emotions become so overwhelming that they steal our prayer, then we really need to say, okay, this is a problem. I need to take it to the Lord. The greatest sacrament is confession and surrendering to Him, because sometimes we don't like what the Lord's asking of us. We don't like to surrender. We don't like to give up our will and our opinion and all of these things, which is just a huge indicator of pride.
Sure.
And it just gets in our way. So it interrupts God's grace, and it's not that He's not there. It's just that we in and of ourselves have turned in on ourselves and away from Him. Go to confession. Jump back in.
There you go. So, good stuff. Okay. Alyssa is next, I think.
Okay. How do I find the best reading resources? Who can I trust? Do I need to only read books with an imprimatur?
Yeah, so I have an unfortunate answer. This good Catholics want a kind of pass to perfection, perfect books, right, that they can trust. And it just doesn't work that way. The church is in a state now where the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith is not very aggressive in chasing down heresy. I'm not accusing anyone of anything negative. It's just, it just isn't very common, at least that we can see, because there are some of the most popular books in Catholic spirituality are rife with heresy about the Trinity, about prayer, you know, just false teaching after false teaching, or by authors who have for decades spoken against church teaching. So the issue is now, let's say there's a bishop who is kind of not very good with church teaching, and they have a, because all imprimaturs come from dioceses. They come from wherever the book is published or from the diocese where the writer has written the book. And let's say they're in a diocese where you have, you know, a bishop who's not all that keen on the doctrine of the church. They will hire a theologian in keeping with their view of things. And then that's the person who is called the censor deputatus. They're the ones that the bishop assigns to assess the book. If they assess the book and they are theologically problematic and they give the book an imprimatur, you now have a book that you think is good with an imprimatur. It's sort of like getting, you know, a guarantee on milk that you buy from the store, you know, the sell by date is good and everything's good, and you drink it and you get sick, you know. It just is unfortunate. So I don't trust imprimaturs at this stage in the church. What I trust is publishers. And by the way, some people, I've had one person, even a student, disagree with me on this, but I've been a censor deputatus. We could argue I should have never had that, been that, but I've been one. I've had, you know, I've published 12 books. I know the whole process in and out, inside and out. And I've got imprimaturs in some of my books and some I don't, because it just doesn't mean a lot much anymore. But, how do you know to trust? And that is, you got to trust publishers who are dead serious about the magisterium. Number one on my list is Sophia Institute Press, right next to Sophia's EWTN Publishing. Anything you buy at EWTN Religious Catalog has been vetted by EWTN's Theology Department, which is headed by Colin Donovan, rock solid theologian, totally with the church, as is EWTN. So that you can trust EWTN Religious Catalog, you can trust Sophia Institute Press. You know, then there's other good organizations who publish. Emmaus Road, I have a few books published with them. They're fantastic. Scott Hahn and his group owns them now. Another one is Ignatius Press. You know, and there are publishers who, frankly, that I won't list, that sometimes they'll publish good books and sometimes they won't. They just are there to make money. They don't really care about the church. They're just, whatever's popular and sells is what they publish. So the best reading resources is usually got to rely on the best publishers. You can also go out to spiritualdirection.com if you want spiritual reading and search for spiritual reading. Just put it in the search bar and you'll find a page out there that gives you a good list of books to read. And authors, that's another way, is no good authors. There's Dr. Anthony Lillis, Father Thomas Dubay, you know, the modern authors. Those are fantastic authors on the interior life.
And all the saints.
All the saints and the doctors of the church.
Right.
In particular, and Teresa of Avila, John of the Cross.
And you could read every day for the rest of your life and never exhaust that list.
Right. That's exactly right.
Right.
So why read the other stuff that may be funky?
Yeah.
I'm against it.
Right. And I think a lot of times people think, oh, that's antiquated, or, you know, that's not for me. And what they'll find is so many of the writings of the saints are actually exquisite. They are so beautiful.
And the problems of humanity are the same. They've never really been different over 2,000 years. There's some unique things, like in our time, biomedical, you know, issues with morality or whatever. But the fundamental problems of humanity and how it is that we grow towards God, and, you know, it's from the beginning of time, it's been about pride and the seven deadly sins and overcoming those and giving our life to God. It's all the same problem. So if you have the sense that it's ancient and it's not good, that's probably foolish or from the enemy or one of the two. And we're headed to a break, so we'll be right back.
Now here's a deal you don't want to miss.
For Divine Intimacy radio listeners only, you can purchase any of the hundreds of Catholic books from Sophia Institute Press at 25% off when you purchase it from sophiainstitute.com and apply coupon code AVILA at checkout. Whether you're looking for a spiritual classic to help you grow in holiness or a Catholic book to help you cultivate virtue and defeat those pesky vices, Sophia Institute Press is sure to have the book you're looking for. So go to sophiainstitute.com today and receive 25% off your entire order by applying coupon code AVILA, that's A-V-I-L-A, at checkout.
Once again, go to sophiainstitute.com and don't miss out on this great deal.
Welcome back to Divine Intimacy Radio. This is Dan Burke with Stephanie Burke.
Okay, you ready to take a question from Helen?
I am.
Okay, Helen says, is it bad to meditate and see or feel nothing?
So is it bad to meditate or see and feel nothing? Let me ask you a question in response. Is it bad to simply be with someone you love, even if there are no, sensible feelings there, but just being with one you love? Is it bad?
No, it's actually wonderful.
Yeah.
Some of the best communication happens when nobody's speaking.
Right.
Or doing anything, just being with one another.
Right.
In abandonment to the relationship, in peace, in trust.
Uh-huh.
Your heart is, you know, in a safe place.
And, yeah.
You just know that you belong.
Right. I like that.
Yeah.
You just described, in a sense, kind of maybe a good analogy for contemplative prayer, a form of it anyway. But yeah, no, it's not bad. it can be frustrating, you know, if you don't understand what's going on. The goal, and, you know, it's just, if you think about back to that analogy, what's the goal of just being with someone? It's just to be with them. That's mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. Why? Because you love them and you're willing to waste time, if you will, in quotes, with them. You're willing, it doesn't matter, you know, what things you have to do or whatever. You just love them and you just want to be with them. This is kind of a difficult place to get to in prayer, but it's one of the best places to be in prayer. And that is to be completely convinced, because it's true, that God is present. And even if you feel absolutely nothing, and yield to that reality and just be with him.
Yeah. And, you know, I'd also say, you know, and that's assuming that everything else is kind of rightly ordered in that person's life.
Sure.
So, you know, if they have a lot of noise in their life, if they're spending a lot of time watching TV, listening to the radio or whatever, and they're having difficulty, you know, recollecting themselves mm-hmm. when they go to pray, then that can be a problem. And you know, if you're new to meditation and you're struggling with it, you go to scripture and you know, it's, you're not really jiving with your prayer, then you might consider a resource like The Better Part, mm-hmm. Which is an amazing guide by Father John Bartunek to teach, that he really guides you and he really gives you food in order to teach you how to think, how to meditate, how to pray through the scriptures. It is, in my mind, the best resource. I consumed the whole thing over the course of about 3 years.
Over and over, right?
It's just an exquisite resource. So.
And I think they're going to begin offering that at Sophia Institute Press, by the way.
Wow, that's news.
Yeah,
yay.
Isn't that great? It's
that's
not
awesome.
Published by them, but
right.
I convinced them because it's such a good book to give it wider.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, wider distribution.
It's an endless resource, so.
Yeah, The Better Part by Father John Bartunek, Bartunek, a very holy priest that we love very much. But this, Helen is experiencing what's known as aridity, and you alluded to some issues that could cause it. You know, I was driving the other day in fog, and I thought, oh, this is an interesting analogy for the spiritual life. Because, you know, when you're in fog, have you ever been driving in fog and realize that it wasn't foggy outside, but it was your window inside?
I don't have problems with my perception quite that bad.
You don't? But, no. Well, our producer is shaking his head going, yeah, I've been there, you know? And so that's one cause of aridity, right? It's your stupidity, right? Which means you got to turn on the thing.
Windshield wiper.
No, the windshield wiper.
Oh,
or
the defogger.
The defogger, okay. Inside the car.
Whatever. The frogger? No, defrogger. There's no frogs in the car.
There aren't any frogs in the car.
No.
The defrogger. What would that look like? Be like a little trebuchet that you open your window and launch the frogs out, or a spring load. I don't know. Anyway, so a defogger. To get rid of it. So that would be something in our control. And sometimes aridity is in our control when we are failing in our spiritual disciplines, or we have physiological issues like lack of sleep, or we even have psychological challenges like we've had a fight with somebody.
High stress.
Yeah. So those are human things that cause aridity that we can do something about. And that's like the fog defogger or the windshield wipers. We can turn them on. We can deal with it. And then there's fog that is outside of your control. It just has settled in. And that's usually to humble us, right? Both are actually to humble us. But it's usually to humble us, one, in the sense of humbling us to realize we need God. And so our meditation's difficult because we're slacking off, you know, if you will. The other one is to humble us and get us to slow down a bit. You know, because what do you do when you hit a fog? You slow down, you drive slower, you open your eyes bigger, if you will. You lean forward and you grab the steering wheel and you go, please, God, help me, right? Mm-hmm. Depending how bad it is and whether or not there's ice on the road. We used to live in Colorado. And so fog with ice usually ends up with pileups of 100 cars, you know, and people severely injured. And so when that happens, you're driving slow, gripping the wheel, eyes open. Well, that's the same effect spiritually. It's like when we hit aridity, sometimes we need to slow down and become more aware of what's going on around us. What is God saying to us? And and how do we deal with the situation. So,
and trust him.
Trust.
Surrender and trust. It's going to be okay.
It is going to be okay. Very good.
Okay. From Jenny, then, how did saints that were not religious deal and pray against the enemy? Who performed deliverances and how were they done? Well, this is a loaded question. I know of St. Catherine of Siena, one of my faves, but I do not know how.
So let's just start with the first question. How did saints that were not religious deal with and pray for the, pray against the enemy the same way that saints who were religious dealt with and prayed against the enemy? Now, if the saint is a priest, that's different, you know, particularly if they have the faculties of exorcism. But let's just assume they don't, because that's a whole different category that most of us can't deal with. And if you're an exorcist, you don't need my advice on how to deal with it. But basically what they did at its most essential level is reject the enemy. James 4:7 says, resist the devil and draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. So scripture tells us that we can resist the devil. How do you resist the devil? I'd strongly recommend you pick up a book that Father Chad Ripperger put together, and he's an exorcist that's quite popular out on YouTube, and he's an extraordinary theologian and worthy of listening to on all topics, really.
And he's going to be a keynote speaker at our Avila Summit in 2019,
next year, yeah.
Yeah.
And if you're listening to this in 2019, it's this year. But it's in 2019, July 12th through the 14th.
Right, Hansville at the Shrine of the Blessed Sacrament.
Is it up? Or can people...
It will be within days of this recording.
So when they hear it,
right.
Those who are on listening live on Facebook, they can go... Can they go now or no?
Well, it's not quite open, but
okay.
It will be, I think, within the week.
Spiritual direction? No, it's going to be at...
Avila-institute.org, and you go to events, and you'll see the Avila Summit. It's a rare gift to get to listen to Father Ripperger in person.
Right.
We all listen to him on the internet. Most people do on YouTube. He's very popular. But an amazing gift that he's agreed to come.
He's a very clear thinker. But he compiled a book called Deliverance Prayers for Use by the Laity. Right. Deliverance Prayers for Use by the Laity.
Great book.
Yeah.
Topical.
And this one does have an imprimatur that means something. Actually, there's a bigger book that's for priests that exorcists use as well. But this one is pared down for the laity because there's some prayers that the laity cannot pray appropriately.
Right.
And our
right.
prayers, the laity's prayers, non-exorcist prayers are primarily requesting God or the angels to intercede or Mary. Exorcist prayer, exorcist has the authority to talk directly to the demonic.
Right.
Though we can do that, not in the case of possession, not when things get really kind of hairy, but in the normal day-to-day, you can resist the enemy through the prayers in this book.
Yeah, and you know, I think a lot of times when people get more serious about their prayer life and seeking the Lord, they start to be aware of spiritual realities and
mm-hmm.
difficulties in their families. They might see generational sin or start to see patterns and say, this is just crazy
mm-hmm.
That this keeps happening and we've done all that we know to do and it's still going on. There's so many things that are addressed in these prayers. It's addressed topically for different situations. And, you know, it's a tremendous comfort to be able to engage with ancient prayers that are good and safe to pray and helps us engage with those beautiful spiritual beings that are on our side,
mm-hmm.
the angels and archangels that are fighting for us and the Blessed Mother. So that, to me, obviously, and to the Church, our biggest advocate is Our Lady and Saint Michael. You know, those are our weapons. So go to them first, and then you can check out the Deliverance Prayer Book.
The other question they ask is, who performed deliverances and how were they done? So if they're minor in terms of the severity, a lay person can do that by praying over someone. I've been involved in something like that before. And so has Stephanie. But if they're fully possessed, that usually requires an exorcist. Now, Legend has it, and I don't recall, you know, how firm this is, but that St. Catherine of Siena entered a room when somebody was possessed and the demons freaked out and left, you know. But on the other hand, she was also attacked in a way that she found very difficult to deal with. So it just depends. I've experienced a situation where someone came to the threshold of our home and manifested at the threshold of our home, someone who was fully possessed. And why would they do that? Because not because Stephanie and I glow and levitate, but because our home and our lives are dedicated to Christ, and we take that very seriously. And so there's a lot of
prayer in here.
Right.
This home.
Yeah, kind of a pushing back of the darkness, you know.
Right.
So those are different ways that you'd be surprised how much power, by the grace of God, you have as a person who believes in Jesus. One last question, and then this show will end, but for those out on live streaming, we'll do another one. But and that is from Jesu Maria. She says, it has been said that St. Ignatius and St. Alphonsus de Liguori suffered from scrupulosity. Does this mean we should take their writings with a grain of salt? St. Alphonsus Liguori is a doctor of the church. So in the opinion of the church, is radically opposed to that idea, and that would be profoundly foolish. St. Ignatius is not a doctor of the church, but his writings have transformed, you know, millions of people, I think it's safe to say. So it doesn't, just because somebody suffers with scrupulosity doesn't mean their writings are inherently defective. Because we know that they were scrupulous, it's because they knew they were scrupulous and they dealt with it. And so, no, both of these writers are reliable, safe, time-tested, and anyone who claims that, and I don't think the writer or the question is claiming it, is really off base, and we are out of time.
May the God of peace make you perfect in holiness. May he preserve you whole and entire, spirit, soul, and body, irreproachable at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Learn more about the interior life. Visit spiritualdirection.com. Divine Intimacy Radio is a co-production of EWTN Radio and spiritualdirection.com, and heard worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.